Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Women of Grace, Faith, and Courage Going Deeper with God Bible Study Series. Oh, my goodness, God is so amazing. He's so amazing. He's so wonderful. Truly, the Lord is worthy to be praised, sisters. I mean, there's so much happening around us. There's so much going on in the nation. There's so many shootings and just natural disasters. There's earthquakes. There's literally every single thing that the Bible has named that would happen in the last times. If we look around our look around the nation, we see that happening today. But yet and still, despite what we may see in the natural, sisters, we trust in the Lord. We trust in our Savior. We keep our eyes on Him. We look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We don't look to the left or the right. We're not shaken. We're not fearful. We're not in a place of despair. We're not panicked. We're not anxious. We are not in a place of uncertainty. Why? Because we serve a certain God. We serve a God who still reigns on the throne. So despite what we may see happening, we can still go to the Lord and pray and ask the Lord to show us in the spiritual realm what is happening. Although it's playing out or manifesting in the natural, we can seek God for answers to what we see happening around us. But then on the other side of that, there's a beautiful, beautiful move of the Spirit of the Lord, move of God that is happening in Kentucky. And can I just tell you, ladies, if you have not Googled the Asbury University Revival, please do. Please do. It will stir your spirit. And even if you're not quite sure what a revival is, you will be in awe at just the manifestation of God's presence that is being displayed and demonstrated at that university of Generation Z college students that are crying out, hallelujah, at the altar. They're seeking God for confession and they're just worshiping the Lord. We are seeing some of the greatest displays of God's power and God's love here on earth. So right, while we might see turmoil and chaos on one hand, on the other hand, we see and we are beginning to see, and this is just the beginning, I believe as well, of the breakouts and the sparks of revivals that are going to begin to take place across the nation. Maybe some of us will be a part of it. Maybe some of us will catch wind of it. Maybe some of us will just hear about it. Who knows what role the Lord will allow us to play, but either way, we just stand in awe at what God is doing in this hour. So we are not moved. The Lord shall never suffer or permit the righteous to be shaken. That doesn't mean that trials and tribulations won't come, but it means that we stand, hallelujah, on a firm foundation. The Lord is our anchor. The anchor is what keeps a ship grounded. It keeps it still and steady. It keeps it from moving. It keeps it from drifting. It keeps it from drifting. So while the waves of life may want to take us under, we say not so in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we have an anchor. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We have Jesus. We put our hope in Jesus. Despite what's happening in our lives, we put our trust in Jesus. He is the one certain person. He is the one certain Savior. He is the certain God that we have. He is our rock. He is our Redeemer. He's the God of our salvation. The Word of God says, as for God, hallelujah, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. That means it is tested. It is proven to be that. It is faithful. It is acceptable. God's Word is so we can be confident in God's word because it's tried. And He is a buckler. That means He's a shield to all of us who trust in Him. So ladies, this is a season where we may have to just ask the Lord to help us trust in Him a bit more when the waves of life hit us, whether it be something dealing with our children, our marriage, our finances, our health, whatever that might look like, we still have to look unto the Lord. We still have to lift our eyes up and lift our head up and say, Lord, I trust you. I know what the doctor said, glory to God. But I trust you. I know what my children's school says, Shekiah Messiah. But I trust you. I know what the debt says. I know what the bills say. I know what the foreclosure notice says. But God, I trust you. Hallelujah, God. You would never leave me astray, God. So even if I am being evicted, or even if some things are going on with my car is going to be taken, God, even in that, Lord, I will trust you, because you, God, you are the creator of the universe, God. You are the one who has my plans and my purpose, God, in your hand. Oh, glory to God. He is the one who knows our beginning from the end from the beginning. So we trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but ladies, we shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why God has me going in this direction on today, but this was not a part of the notes. We are headed into, but I praise God, because somebody needed to be encouraged on today, and the Lord knew. So I pray in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of our matchless Father, that somebody's heart was ministered to, even in that exhortation in the beginning. God was speaking to his beloved daughters. So I thank the Lord, hallelujah, for allowing me to release his word, to release his message as we head into part two of our Going Deeper with God Bible study series. Pursuing the heart of God through his word. And I've been adding the word marvelous before his word, because his word is so through his marvelous word. I've been adding that word marvelous because the Lord's word is so marvelous. It is delightful. It is truly just spiritual, a nourishment for our bodies. It's the great book. It is sacred. Every time I read the word of God, I am excited. I am refreshed. My faith is strengthened. My trust in the Lord is strengthened. I am just full spiritually when I read the word. I'm just delighting in the word of God. And as I shared before this series began, what the Lord is doing, what I believe God is doing and will do throughout this series is that he will awaken a love for his word, a love for worship, a love for prayer, a love and desire for fasting. That means turning down our plates, lady. And we'll talk about that in the next month or so, turning down our plates to actually allow ourselves to be like free and clear almost, right? To be in a space where we can actually hear the voice of the Lord. So let us pray as we just open up part two of this wonderful, wonderful Bible study series, divinely inspired by the wonderful Savior. He is so beautiful, ladies. I'm just telling you, this is a season where we have to just praise our way through. We have to press into the presence of God. We have to just press into the promises of God. I don't care what our circumstances say or what our situations may look like in the natural. We have to press in and we have to praise our way through. Amen. Amen. Let's just open up in a brief word of prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, oh, glory to God. God, we worship you, God. Oh, we adore you, God. There's none like you, God. Truly, you are the great I am, God. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are everything, God. You are our El Shaddai. You are the Almighty One, God. You are the mighty God, Lord. You are a wonderful counselor, everlasting. God, Father, God, you are so many things, God. But all above all things, God, you are just great, God. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are loving and kind, God. You are faithful to your children, God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this Bible study series, God. We pray that you would just continue to speak to our hearts, God. Continue to encourage us and awaken us and to reignite a love for just being in your presence, God, whether it be just through quiet and still moments of journaling, just quiet and still moments of listening to you, of listening to worship music, of listening to praise music, God, of us just praising and worshiping you just in our kitchens, in the cars, God. Let it be so, God, that we would be women of prayer, praise, worship, fasting, God. The name of this ministry is Women of Grace, Faith, and Courage, God. Let it be so that we would embody that, Lord, that we would be women who would embody grace and faith and courage, Lord. Draw us closer to you, God, in this season than we've ever been before, God. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We honor you, God. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, ladies. So I am just going to share what I've begun to do in this year's lessons. Is the Lord is just allowing me. He said that the lessons and the messages, they have to be bite-sized, easy to understand, but biblically based. So you'll find that the messages won't necessarily be like 45 minutes or an hour. It just depends on how the Spirit of the Lord flows. But the Lord is just really allowing just these messages or these studies to be more like devotional. So they've been like maybe 20, 30 minutes or so, because what I am committed to doing is just releasing the message of the Lord and the revelation of the Lord, nothing more, nothing less. So I'm not going to add to it nor take away from it, just so that we could either be together longer when we do it live, or so that I could record a longer message. Absolutely not. I have no desire to act in my own flesh. I have, as Jesus said, and I believe it was John 8, he said he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. So with that being said, let's just dig right in. So I'm just going to really share three spiritual benefits of drawing closer to God through the Word of God. Now, one thing is for sure, sisters, and two things are for certain, is that there are a few things that are constantly under attack in our journey and on our walk with the Lord. One of those is our identity in Christ. Oh my goodness. And that's not just specific to women, that's specific to children, men, that's specific to the global body of Christ. But it is also something that we as women are constantly being attacked in, knowing who we are in Christ. Well, why? Because when we know who we are in Christ, like fully come into that full alignment, that full awareness, which it took me years to do, right? I've been surrendered for 4 years. So prior to my full surrender, I was still trying to like figure out who I was in Christ. And through these last 4 years of being surrendered to the Lord, and by being surrendered, I mean, gave God my full entire yes. So full access to the Lord, to every single area of my life. The Lord became like Jesus, Savior, Lord of my entire life. He wasn't just somebody who I read about, but someone whom I served and wanted to just be fully submitted to. So our identity in Christ and our time. Ladies, we must guard our time. If you're thinking like, time, girl, minister, I don't have a lot of time as it is. Well, guess what? We have strategies from the Lord on how we can better manage our time. I know this to be true. I know what I know, what I know, because I literally have asked the Lord to help me. And the Lord will release strategies for how we manage our time. The Lord will also tell us, when to stop doing something, when to delegate something, when something is not of him. So we might be doing something that's good, doesn't mean it's of the Lord, right? So, but it's going to be very important that we be mindful of how we spend our time. Why? Because prayer and studying his word are two of the most important ways that we could spend our time. Now, for those of us who are mothers, and those who are moms and wives and career women, I mean, we have all of these things and people, right? These little ones and these little pets too, right? Vying for our attention. But that is no excuse for us as women and as mothers and as wives. There's still an expectation that we will go to the Lord and ask him to help us to find time and to really create a schedule that is so that's centered, thank you, Holy Spirit, a schedule that is centered around prayer and our time in the Word. Watch how the Lord does it. Now, will it require sacrifice from us? Absolutely. It cost us everything to walk in lockstep with the Lord. It will cost you and I, ladies, everything to live a life completely laid down. That means to live a life fully yielded to the Lord, our Savior. It will cost us. It will cost us sleep. It will cost us relationships. It will cost us friendships. It will cost us our earthly reputations, right? Because we're going to start to look a little crazy when we start to really be radical for the Lord, right? But that's okay. We should be in a season, ladies, or be walking into a season or have a desire to be in a place where none of that matters. Nothing else matters to us but growing closer to the Lord. Now, does that mean we neglect our spouses and our children? Absolutely not, right? That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's an opportunity for us to seek the Lord for strategies on how we manage our time. And it may very well look like rising earlier, staying up late. So for me, by the grace of God, I rise up at about 4 a.m. Between 4 and 5 a.m., I have a time of just talking with the Lord, praying, reading scripture, maybe read a few verses and just sitting with the Lord, meditating on it. At night, I may have like a late night bath and I'm reading the word. And sometimes I'm not reading the word. Sometimes it's just a bubble bath, candles, and just me talking with the Lord, right? It doesn't have to always look the same. And maybe it's just a couple of verses that you read in the morning that you meditate on, a couple of verses that you meditate on at night. No one is saying that we must start off by reading hours in the Word. If that's not where you are, ask the Lord to help you to start and begin where you are, right? Because some may be able to spend a little more time in the Word. Maybe I could do an hour and not be distracted. Others, sisters, you might just be starting off with just 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Begin where you are. I said it last Bible study, the first one in the kickoff, even with prayer. Begin where you are. The greatest disservice that we can do to ourselves on this journey, wherever we are on this journey, whether we're babes in Christ, which means we're new in the faith, or whether we're seasoned, which means we've been saved for quite some time, it doesn't matter. We still must begin where we are, like start where we are. Because sometimes we've been saved for a long time and we've fallen off the horse, meaning the routines and the quiet time and the things that we once did or had in place, life came and we no longer have those things in place. So now the Lord is literally just reconditioning us, right? And reawakening those desires that we used to have, that we really want to have. And we've been crying out to the Lord, asking him to help us reawaken those. And I believe that for some, this Bible study series is just going to do that and more if we allow it, if we hearken unto the voice of the Lord, if we receive that which the Lord is sharing through me. Because please know, I have not come here with any wise sayings. I have not come with any like human wisdom. I prepare, and those who have been around for the almost four years of this ministry know that I am a stickler for consecration and praying and going before God before speaking to his people. I am only a vessel, a mouthpiece for the Lord. So the revelation that I share, it is a byproduct or a result of my quiet time with God. So when I speak with confidence in that which God, hallelujah, has revealed to me, not that which April, Sister April, Minister April, mom, none of that, not anything of my own. So I'm excited to release these gems and these blessings from the Lord, because I believe that they are going to bless our whole heart. So three spiritual benefits of drawing closer to God through the Word of God, or pursuing the heart of God through his marvelous Word, right? First, let's just dispel a worldly statement that they say, you know, your relationship with your spouse, they say things, this is the world, right? And we have to be careful not to buy in and be conformed to the patterns and the behaviors and the ways of the world, because we will easily find ourselves speaking like the world, thinking like the world. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, that our mind has to be renewed. Our mind is renewed by reading the Word, right? First and foremost, our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we will ever have. Rewind that. Let's run that back. It is not our marriage. It is not our relationship with our children. It is our relationship with our Lord and Savior. The most important relationship that we will ever have. So as we're thinking about creating goals for the year, and of course these should be godly goals, right? Goals that we do in collaboration with the Lord. I have to do a podcast on that. I've yet to do that, but that is important. Goals are important, but setting goals in collaboration with the Lord, of even greater importance, right? Greater intimacy with the Lord. It should be at the top of our goal list every year. I don't care how much money we want to save, how much debt we want to pay off. We should desire to grow closer to the Lord every single year. Our walk with the Lord should be progressive. We should be growing in the things of God, growing in our understanding, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be one of our goals every single year. More prayer, more reading of the Word, more time in his presence, whatever that looks like for us, that should be something that you and I desire. And if it's something that you're struggling with, again, we simply, in our transparency and in our raw, real relationship with our Heavenly Father as his beloved daughter, we go before him and we share our heart. Most beautiful way for us to grow close to God, in addition to the things we start discussing, is for us to simply be transparent in our prayer life and in our conversations with the Lord, I've seen where it is a certain level of vulnerability that the Lord has allowed me to have where I just bare my heart and soul. Well, first of all, he knows it all anyway, right? But there's something so uniquely beautiful in our individual relationship with God when we can just share our heart, right? We seek best friends in people of the world, but we have a best friend. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek companionship in worldly friendships or in friendships with people on this earth. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if we aren't careful, we will turn people of this world into our God. And, oh, glory to God. Oh, Shekia Basaya. We will in turn make idols and gods, little g, out of people, right? Our earthly best friends, our natural best friends, our best friend that we've known for 20 years. I'm going to tell him everything and I'm going to tell her everything. And I talk to her about everything. But we have a Lord and Savior for those of us who know the Lord, right? So we have the Lord and Savior whom we can talk to just like we talk to our earthly best friends, those people we know for 20 years. God's like, but I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, right? I formed your inward parts, right? I know your innermost being, right? I like the hairs on your head are numbered by the Lord. He's our best friend. He should be. He's my best friend. He's my everything. He's my father. He wears many roles and he is just everything to me as he should be to each and every one of us. All right. God is really flowing tonight because many of these points and things were just, I definitely know it's just the Lord speaking because they're not in my notes. They're not something that I came to share tonight, but the Lord knows. He knows who's going to listen to this. He knows what needs to, what we need to hear. And as minister and as teacher and as a preacher, I first and foremost always am a partaker of what I'm sharing. So I am not exempt from continuing to learn and grow. I am forever a student of God's word. So let me just be clear when I'm sharing, I'm also being blessed and refreshed and renewed. And God is first and foremost ministering to my heart as I pray that he's going to minister to yours through this series, ladies. So let's get to it. Three spiritual benefits of drawing closer to God. The first thing is, when we dig into God's word, so let's just back it up. His word is just amazing, right? It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God's word, literally, it brings life. It brings revelation. It brings strength. It brings comfort. It brings peace. It also brings conviction, which means we start to feel a little something like, ooh, a little uneasy, like the Lord is dealing with us, right? That's conviction. That's some good stuff, sisters. Conviction is a indication or an indicator that we are truly in relationship with the Lord, because the Lord is driving down our street and he stopped in front of our house and he's knocking at our door because he's coming to share something with us or coming to kind of ruffle our feathers a little bit as we're reading his word, because he wants to expose. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He wants to expose or bring to our awareness an area that maybe we have to realign ourselves with him in as we're reading his word. And so we praise God for that. So as we're reading his word, first thing that it does, the first benefit of drawing closer to God through his word is that we will have a greater understanding of who God is. As we are reading God's word, yes, we praise God for revelation. Yes, we praise God for wisdom. Yes, we praise God for understanding of his word. But first and foremost, we want to walk away seeing and feeling and understanding who God is in a different way, in a deeper way, right? So we will begin to see the depths, D-E-P-T-H-S, of God's character. And the beautiful thing is God promises us that if we seek him and search for him with all of our heart, we will find him. Can you just highlight that in your Bibles? If you already have it highlighted, can you underline that? Put some exclamation points beside that. Put that verse in all caps. Write it in your journals. Why? Because that is a promise of God. Yes, he was speaking to the people of Israel at that time, but it doesn't matter. That promise still stands true for us. And that is from Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you will seek me, woo, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's a promise, but that promise is predicated on an action from us. We must first seek him. We must first be searching for him. And it has to come from where? All of our heart.
So it needs to be a number of things that are happening, a number of things that we must do. And it requires a posture, a heart's posture. But this is the gem in all of this, that if we do those things, seek him, search for him, have a heart that really desires to grow closer to him, and we're going to find him. We're going to draw closer to the Lord. We're going to see that he is with us. He is never going to leave us nor forsake us. We're going to have a greater understanding of who God is. Oh my goodness. And that, ladies, that is really why we're here. We want to know more about the Lord as we're pursuing his heart. We are pursuing his heart. And one of the greatest commandments says what? In Matthew 22, 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the place that we want to reach. We want to say, Lord, help me to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, with all of my mind. Help me to pursue you, to seek you, to search for you with everything I have in me, God. Help me, God, not to search and seek and pursue the things of this world, God. Help me to truly set my affection on you, God, not on man, not on earthly treasures, God, but on you, God, and on your word and on your promises, God. Continue to reveal to me who you are, God, as my Savior, God. Help me to make my walk with you, oh, glory to God. Help me to make it personal. Oftentimes, David, in the Psalms, he would make it personal. He would say, I cried out to my God. He would make it personal. Our relationship with the Lord is personal. It's not our grandmama's relationship. It's not our grandmama's prayers. Yes, my grandmama's prayers have carried us, right? They may have gotten us to the altar, but they're not going to see us into heaven. We must make a decision to choose the Lord and make him Lord of our lives. And then we also must make our own personal decision to serve God and to love him and to pursue his heart, right? With everything we have, all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind, right? And how do we do that? How can we love someone? How can we love someone that we don't know? And how do we get to know someone so that we can fall in love, or for some of us, deeper in love? We spend time. And one of the ways that we can spend time with the Lord is by reading or listening to his word, right? That is one of the primary reasons that we read our Bibles, that we meditate on scripture. It is to allow the Lord to reveal more of who he is. Amen, girl. My heart is so full because I know with just the opposition to release this message, that this is going to be such a blessing to us, to many of us, many of us, many of us, many of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The second spiritual benefit or benefit of drawing closer to God through his word and through reading his word and through meditating on his word is that we will receive a greater understanding of who we are through the eyes of God. So there are promises that are specifically stated throughout the Bible for us as children of God, the spiritual riches, right? There's so many things throughout the Bible that are really, the promises are designed to open our eyes up, to show us a greater understanding of who we are through the eyes of God, right? So not even just the promises, but just the love and just the fact that the word tells us that we have been chosen before the foundation of this world, right? How beautiful is that? So for those who might be struggling with feeling like they weren't chosen by their parents in the natural, or there's some other sort of childhood experiences or childhood trauma that has actually impacted the way that we may feel about ourselves, and we may feel like we've constantly sought approval, and we've wanted to be selected and validated. Thank you, Holy Spirit, by man. God is saying in Ephesians 1 verse 4 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We are chosen. I need somebody to receive that on today. You have been chosen by God. You are loved with an everlasting love, right? Amen, amen, amen. There's no need to fight for the validation of man. We don't need to worry about what relationship didn't work out and what man didn't choose us and our parents didn't choose us and all these different things that may have happened throughout our childhood or maybe even throughout our adolescent years. We don't need to fix our minds on any of that. The word of God says we have been chosen in him. The word of God says that we are loved with an everlasting love. Romans 8, 38 through 39, it lists out for us the things that may come to try to separate us from the love of God, but they actually will not, right? Not nothing. Life nor death, right? It's just, he said death nor life, right? Angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, D-E-P-T-H, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There we have it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we get into God's word, when we meditate on God's promises, when we begin to see who we are through the scripture, who we are as beloved children of the Most High, daughters of the King, it does something to us. It really, truly does. Because while we may be battling or wrestling with identity issues, once we get into God's word, we're going to see who we are and see that our identity is in him. And it is going to shift, hallelujah, our entire walk. It is going to transform us, glory to God, from the inside out. We will no longer seek the approval of man because we will already know that we have been approved, Shekhabasaya. We have been validated and we've been chosen by the Lord, our Savior, the Most High, and his approval is the only one that matters. His love is the greatest love. There's no love on the earth that is going to supersede the agape, the sacrificial, pure, selfless love of the Lord, who demonstrates his love, says the word of God, right? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God is just so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. So when we're getting into his word and we are reminded and have a greater understanding of who we are through his eyes. And the last piece I want to share today before I close this out and bring it all together, tie it up with a bow. God is, he's so good. He's magnificent. Is we will have a greater grip and grasp, like when you're grasping for something, a greater grip, when you're holding something really tight, holding it firmly in your hand, like it can't be taken out. We will have a greater grip and grasp on God's promises and scriptures through the reading of his word. The Bible, the word of God, it is inspired by God. Even the authors, even the different books you're reading, the Luke, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of it is divinely inspired by the Lord. It is God breathed, God inspired. The word of God is just, it's God's authoritative word, whether it was Jesus Christ speaking directly, or whether it was the prophet speaking, whether it was the disciple speaking, whether it was Apostle Paul writing, either way, the word says that the word of God is divinely inspired. So we thank the Lord that we have access to the word of God, and that has been breathed out by God. Glory, 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 right? Breathed out by God. It is divine inspiration. And so we understand that it's a constant source of encouragement. There are literally, again, promises that we must take hold of, that we literally must cling to as daughters of the King, as children of God. Why? Because if we don't know the promises of God, we're going to be more susceptible to believing lies of Satan. Oh, how can I say that again? If we are not sure and do not have a greater understanding or grip and grasp or hold on God's promises, hallelujah, for ourselves. We're not talking about what other people are saying on social media, because we have to know God's word for ourselves. We have to know God for ourselves. It goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. It is personal, glory to God. Our walk with the Lord is personal. Our desire to serve God, it is personal. It is not about outward performance. It is not about us. We grew up in the church and saw our mama say we always got to do this and the routines and the work. We're not talking about the works. We're not talking about performance. We're not talking about any of that. We're not talking about doing because we grew up and that's what we saw. So we feel like we're serving God out of obligation or duty. We're talking about serving God because we have a desire to please him. We serve God because we have a desire to know him. We serve God because we love him. And out of that love for him comes a desire to just do the work and will of God, whatever that might look like within the church establishment, outside of the four walls of church. We are just ready, willing, and available to do the work of the Lord. But if we do not know God's promises and know God's word for ourselves, we are going to be in a vulnerable place. We're going to be more susceptible and more likely to believe the lies of Satan. Because let me tell you, false prophets are real. There are so many people that are popping up on live and popping up on YouTube and YouTube lives and thousands of followers. And they are pretending to minister the word of God when they are not. The source of it is not God. The source of the information is not God. It is not a promise of God. It is from the flesh. We have to know the word of God for ourselves. We have to know there are promises from God also that will see us through every single season of our lives. The Lord recently shared with me that we can find him, the Lord, in every single season of our lives through his word. The book of Psalms literally is a book of 150 chapters. And it is such a range of different emotions. There's worship, there's praise, there's lamentation, there's angst, there's anger, there's curiosity, there's uncertainty. There is literally a range of emotions throughout throughout the book of Psalms. And through every psalmist, every author, there's still hope, and they still are clinging to the Lord, specifically all of the Psalms that David wrote, right? We know King David, he was truly a man after God's own heart. And my goodness, every Psalm that he wrote, even when he was being sought after or sought out or being pursued to because his son wanted to kill him, or King Saul wanted to kill him, we still see David clinging to the Lord and his trust in the Lord and the promises. And he just, it was just personal for David. He was not moved. He was not shaken, even during the seasons, again, where he was in the literal wilderness, right? So we know wilderness in a different sense, but David knew wilderness in the natural sense, like literally in caves and hiding out and fleeing for his life. So it is just amazing, amazing, amazing. As we read through the book of Psalms, that there are promises from God and Psalms that we can actually cling to during every single season of our lives. If there's a season where we're going through the wilderness, we can find the Lord in his word. If there's seasons where we feel like we're going through suffering or grief, we can find comfort in God's word. We can find a promise in God's word. Like I said in the beginning, God's word is life. It brings strength. It brings comfort. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings renewing of our mind. It brings refreshing, right? We can find God in every single season of our lives in his word. There's passages where there's just in the book of Psalms, it really is such a glorious book because there's a lot of worship of God, worship for who he is, for his magnificent splendor, for his majestic ways. There's just worship and praise. It is just, I mean, in addition to all of the other emotions that are displayed throughout the Psalms, there are so many scriptures of exaltation where the Lord is just being exalted, where the psalmist is just praising God for who he is. And we have to step into a place and get into a place and a position and a posture of our heart where, despite what is happening around us, and I started out this way, so I thank you, Holy Spirit, we are still praising God. God is worthy to be praised. He's already done so much for us. Maybe he's not moving the way you want him to move. Maybe there's still some promises over your life, or over our lives, that are unfulfilled, which means they've yet to be manifested. So we're waiting and we're getting discouraged and all these different emotions and things are coming. I haven't seen a shift in my marriage yet, God. I haven't seen a shift in my finances yet. But even while we're waiting, hallelujah, we praise God anyway. We praise him before the situation turns around. We praise him before the illness is declared healed, before the doctor declares it as being healed. We praise him before our marriage is resurrected. We praise him before our barren wombs are open. Oh, shikabasaya, hallelujah. We praise God in the hallway, hallelujah, until he opens the door. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's what I'm saying. That's the season and the posture of our heart, that we should praise God through every single season of our life. And we can also pray and exalt him through creativity, through writing, through drawing, through painting. I mean, literally, God desires to use us as creative vessels in his hands if we just ask him to do it. Ask ask him, Lord, use me as a creative vessel in your hand. Lord, create through me, draw through me, journal through me, speak through me, do poetry through me. I mean, the Lord is, he is willing and desires to use us as his vessels. We just have to be willing and yielded and available. However we choose to exalt and glorify the Lord in our quiet time, it's going to be different for all of us. It truly, truly is. There's not a cookie cutter approach. The most important piece is that our heart's posture and that our heart's desire is not to just get into his presence because it's something we want to check off the list. I mean, let me just do this quiet time because it's something I need to do. Let me just read these couple of verses because that's what she said I should do. No. Our posture must be right. We must genuinely have a desire to want to be still and quiet with the Lord. And if we're having troubles quieting our minds, we ask the Lord to help us. Lord, quiet my thoughts, Lord. Quiet my mind. It's racing, God. I pray that you would bring stillness, hallelujah, to my mind. God, I pray that you would bring stillness to my thoughts. And the Lord will honor these prayers. He will begin to help us. Glory, glory, glory. So as I stated before, I am not going to add anything else to what God has given me to release these three benefits and blessings from the Lord. This is revelation from God. And ladies, I can just tell you that the Lord is just waiting for us to continue to take this journey with him and to pursuing, relentlessly pursuing his heart. And I know that as we do so through prayer, through the reading of his word, and we're going to talk about worship and fasting. I mean, oh my goodness, ladies, this series is just going to continue to fill our hearts with joy and gratitude for the access that we have to God that we did not have, or that the people of Israel did not have 2000 years ago, right? But by way of the blood of Jesus and the blood that was shed on Calvary, oh, glory to God. When the veil was torn, when Jesus gave up his spirit, when he took his last breath, the veil was torn, and that allowed and that demonstrated or displayed or represented the access that we have, that we now have to our Lord and Savior that was not available during the Old Testament. So we are under a new covenant. So we are just grateful for the great high priest that we have in Jesus, and just the comfort and the peace and the joy and the strength and the love that we have in his presence amongst so many other things. So ladies, this is a time when we must seek the Lord with all of our heart. Seek the Lord with all of our heart. Seek the Lord with all of our heart. Search for him with all of our heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So with that, ladies, that brings us to the end of this Bible study, Pursuing the Heart of God, Part 2. Stay tuned for more information on Pursuing the Heart of God, Part 3. And I am just going to close us out in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God, we just worship you, Lord. I thank you for this time, God. Oh, my goodness, God. It is just a blessing to be in your presence, even just to release this message, God. Even I thank you, Lord, that you're calling me to a place of consecration tonight after this message is released, God. I thank you for even just changing the way that this was supposed to be done tonight, God. We know that it was supposed to be live, Lord, but you're really drawing me and calling me to just close down everything and be with you tonight, God. So I thank you, Lord, and ask that you would just speak to more of our hearts, God, that you would call forth more of us to clear calendars, switch some things around, just to be still and quiet with you, to hear from you, to allow you to wrap your arms around us, God, to truly just delight in your presence, God. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that we delight ourselves in you, God. You will give us the desires of our heart. Now, God, this scripture does not mean, Lord, that every single thing we want for ourselves, Lord, that is what you're just going to do for us. You're just going to be like a genie in a bottle. No, God, this means that as we delight ourselves in you, God, you're going to continue. You're going to begin to change our desires so that our desires align with yours, God. And then you are going to manifest or allow those desires to manifest themselves in our lives, God. So I thank you for the transformation, the ongoing transformation, God, that we all are going through, God, according to your word, God, that you who has begun a good work in us, God, that you're going to carry it forth. You're going to bring it to completion, God. So I thank you, God, for the ongoing metamorphosis, God. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and minds, God. I pray, God, that you would just have your way, God, that you would show us, God, that you would bring your word to life, God. When we open up your word, God, that we would truly have a greater understanding of who we are in your eyes and who you are, God, as our beloved God, as our Jehovah, as our Yahweh, God, as our everything, as our Heavenly Father, God. I thank thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for this time, God. I thank you for your word, God. I ask all of these things, God, in your precious, precious and mighty name. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 ladies. More to come on part three. Have a blessed weekend. Try to consecrate or spend some time with the Lord, some undistracted time. Put the kids to bed for those who are mothers, because that's always something that we as parents, we have to balance. And so put the kids to bed, have a hot bath, have a moment, go into a closet. It doesn't even have to be a formal prayer closet. Get your journal, put a little nightlight in there, have a few minutes with the Lord. Just let him just wrap his arms around you and refresh you after a long day, after a long week. God is truly, truly our place of comfort and refreshing. He restoreth our soul, right? Now, I mean, now just get into Psalms 23. I can promise you that you get into Psalms 23 and meditate on that tonight or at some point over the weekend, and it will be a true, true, true encouragement to you as it has been to me, in particularly in this season. So, all right, ladies, I love you. I'm praying for everyone under this ministry until we meet again, pursuing the heart of God, going deeper with God. Amen and amen. Bye-bye, ladies.